Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus. You know, guys, we talk a lot about guitarists and singers and bands on the show, but this week we're going to focus on the guys and gals who drive the bands. The guys and gals are sitting behind there, behind all that equipment, beating the living you-know-what out of those skins and keeping the band tight, focused, and in time. Today, we are counting down the most underrated drummers in rock and metal. Stick around.
You're listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, changing rock history one podcast at a time.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus, the flagship podcast of the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus brand. And speaking of Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, that is our website, LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com. Please check back often for a lot of great podcasts. We are niching down. We are getting more and more focused as each week goes by on great guitar-driven rock as our main driving force here. Hard rock, heavy metal, rock and roll, the kind of music that's in your face and up your ass. That's what it's all about here at the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, Hard Rock and Metal Circus. Tonight we have some awesome stuff for you. I'm really excited because the Power Trio is back together. Keith the Hawk Hawkins is with us all the way from New Orleans. What's going on, Keith?
What's up with you guys? Everything all right there? I think I asked that already, but just making sure. What you drinking tonight, buddy?
I got the bird, buddy. Bird is a word.
That's right. You love that shit. It must be Thanksgiving every day at your house. Wild turkey up in this piece, huh?
Hey, you got it, buddy. Sitting next to me, in here, live with me, not from New Orleans, is our resident rock historian, Lily V6. What's up, Lily?
What's up?
So, and what's going on with you, girls? You saw some good shows recently.
I saw last night at the new Roxian Theater in McKees Rocks. Yngwie Malmsteen.
And how was that show?
It was awesome. That new venue is really nice. It's really pretty. The only thing that sucks, of course, is parking, as most venues around here. But oh my gosh, like they have like the seating in there is like general admission pit, general admission, and balcony. Not a bad seat in the entire place. And the guy let me down in the pit. You know, if you flirt with the security guy long enough, they let that.
I'll try that. It never works.
You have different equipment than me, so.
Different equipment. I like that. Good one. All right. So us differently equipment abled people will try to keep it together in your presence.
Why?
Goddess of rock and roll here.
Oh, please.
So anyways, guys, we have a great show. We're going to be talking about underrated drummers, and we're going to define a little bit what we're talking about exactly. We're going to kind of morph the discussion towards the end. I want to talk about something that is on my mind. Keith and I touched on it a little bit on our Facebook posts this week, and that is this idea of session musicians and the guys that you John Q Public doesn't know them, but they're on record after record after record. That's kind of a different subject. We're going to kind of maybe get into that at the end. I want to talk a little bit about ghosting. If you don't know what ghosting is, we'll explain it a little bit later on. But we've got the band back together, okay? We've got Keith, we've got Lily, we've got Ludini. We are going to jump right in and play some great rock and roll for you. We're going to open up the show with a band from Pittsburgh that I just met this week, a band called Transcendence. This is a track called Never Back Down on the Loop.
Calling, screaming through the back of my mind. It better serve in the finest fashion. Holding on, no one gets out alive. All the dreams, played by nightmares. Promises shattered like glass. Stand tall, stay strong, but no matter what, I can't forget the past. Your aspirations fall upon deaf ears. Sight is mine, and I will hold on to everything that drives me. There is no fear. I'm on a ride. I am a man whose life this whip will wound, but leave no scars. Take these shackles and bound them to yourself. In front of the water, like the witch that you are. Like the witch that you are.
That is Transcendence. Transcendence from Pittsburgh, by the way. There's some other Transcendence out there. We're not talking about those guys. You want to go to transcendence412.bandcamp.com. The track is right there that we just played. You guys can check it out. I totally loved it. I met Darren. It's funny. Facebook gives you those suggestions about people you might want to add as friends. Mm-hmm. So he kept on coming up, and he looked so cool. I was kind of intimidated for months and months and months to add him as a friend. I'm like, this guy doesn't want to talk
such
to me.
Girl.
He just looks like such a badass. But I said today, last night I was somewhere and I was bored, and I'm like, I'm going to add this guy. He just keeps coming up. He's got this great picture where he's on stage. He's like, ah. blah, you know. Mm-hmm. And immediately, not only after a friend, he immediately messaged me and said, oh, thank you so much for having me as a friend. I'm like, okay, this guy's kind of like, and then I found out who the band was and got into it. So they don't very bite. Cool. No,
well,
no.
Well, they do, but.
Only by very special request. Mm-hmm. So, drums. I don't want to work. I just want to bang on the drum all day.
Do you?
Hawk.
That's what I he do. Wants to do.
That's all. That's what Hawk does, man.
That's what I do, man.
And it is work. Hey, you just had a show or so. Well, I saw some photos on Facebook. What have you been doing? Tell us a little bit about Black Laurel and what's going on.
I played at the House of Blues last Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty fun. I mean, it was a private party for VIP ticket holders for the Foo Fighters concert. They were in town last Tuesday and Wednesday, or Wednesday and Thursday, I believe. Nice. So the first we played Black Laurel, the original band I played with, played there the first night. And they put you like in a small room and people were eating dinner. It's kind of weird actually, because you're playing like kind of loud rock and there's like people in suits and just, you know, different shit that got like these, you know, upgrade these tickets, and the tickets were ridiculous for that because it was a small, pretty small venue. But there's people in this dining room eating, and they're like pretty well dressed. And then a couple like, you know, rockers come straggling in and drink $10 shots at the bar, and then go out to the concert. It was fun though. I mean, it was a little bit more subdued as I was than I would have liked it to have been, but. The House of Blues there is a cool venue. It's got like several different rooms where smaller rooms have like, you know, some different parties. I was upstairs in a smaller, you know, little private party room, but it's like definitely a cool venue. I've seen a couple other shows there, and it was a lot of fun, man. Just to say you play there or whatever, just to have a good rock show there. You don't really have to, you know, lug too much around. They had a drum kit and everything there, so it was fun.
Awesome.
I wish we had a House of Blues here. I like
House
of Blues.
Okay, so before we get started on this, I just want to kind of try to make sure we're all on the same page and we understand what we mean by underrated. Underrated doesn't necessarily mean unknown. We're talking about guys that, like, maybe you didn't even know who they are, but maybe you don't, for whatever reason, consider them in the pantheon of the great drummers. Okay, so that's it. So, and no Neil Peart, no John Bonham,
none of the big
no
guys,
no Dave Grohl,
none of the top 10.
Yeah, none of those type of, you know, no Bill Bruford or any of those kind of guys, because those guys, like, everybody knows, everybody loves, they're wildly, heavily well respected. So what we're trying to talk about, just like we've done with guitar players and singers in the past, is we want to talk about the guys that are like really good, very, you know, have a really unique style or whatever. And Keith is going to expand on this way better than me in a second, but aren't necessary. People just, they don't get their due. We want to give those guys their due. So without further ado, Keith, why don't you get in and I don't know if you want to expand on what I just said, or if you want to just get right into the top 10 or how you want to talk about it, but go ahead, bro.
I think there was a little, maybe not confusion. I think I read all the posts, and there was a lot of where I really agreed with. I'm always willing to learn about new drummers and watch them and check out what they got going on. I think that sometimes people are known well in the drum community, but not known well to the everyday fan.
Gotcha.
But I mean, I hate to say it, but I mean, there was a couple of people put Vinny Colaiuto on there, and Vinny Colaiuto is the greatest drummer on the planet. There's two different subjects when you're talking about drummers. There's Vinny, then there's everybody else. So, I mean, he's that good. So to say he's underrated, like I said, my wife knows who Vinny Colaiuto is, and, you know, her musical IQ isn't exactly
stellar. Well, she's also married to an awesome musician, so she's probably a little more tuned in than
he's been. Yeah, but she doesn't really follow that kind of shit either. Okay. So he's been on so many like killer recordings and played with so many killer musicians. It's kind of hard not to hear the guy. But at the same time, you know, it could be one of those things where that kind of just got kind of.
So let's go ahead. You've got a list, I'm sure, of guys you feel are underrated, haven't gotten their due, fill in the blank, whatever. So why don't you? We'll get to what the fans talked about a little bit later on. So what is? Let's go ahead, because I'm really interested in what you have to say about it. If for those of you that don't know, those of you returning to the Ludini Rock Roll Circus, by the way, we have some new listeners. We are now part of Classic 92 3.3. So welcome. But this is, you guys heard the show last week. This week is how the real show goes with the all three of us. But Keith is a fantastic musician, taught drums for many, many years, as well as performs professionally all the time. So he knows the subject sideways. So that's why we're having Keith really kind of expound on this. But we'll get to what the fans thought later. I want to know what the expert in the house has to say. So if you want to start with your list and maybe expand on who you got and tell us why. Go ahead.
I'm going to call him. He'll be right here. The expert's on his way.
Get out of here. Oh, Hair Metal Hank, is he the expert?
He's still on tour. I think he jumped ship and went to, he's on tour with Foghat now or something. But to me, there's a lot of different categories that you can like say, oh, this guy does this better, this does better. It's, I don't want to make the whole competition thing. I like drummers for a lot of different reasons, but I think that guys that capture a certain like creativity in songs that have been in bands, whether it be from pop to metal, just, you know, to hard rock and everything in between. The first guy I'm going to name here, like I said, this is in no particular order, but these guys are all have said something to me because they make the song better with their creativity. And the first guy that I'm going to put on my list is Larry Mullen Jr. from U2. Is that a metal band or a hard rock band? No, but they're a great rock band.
Rock band.
He thought of different, the Sunday Bloody Sundays, up into the way he uses the toms on With It or Without You, to Pride in the Name of Love. The guy has very keen ears to what makes a song work, and he's a rock-solid player if you've ever seen him live. He's an amazing player. He doesn't overplay. He plays what's perfect for the song, and he never strays away from the idea of what the band brings to him, and he's always been right there, and that's why that drum seat has been occupied by that guy since day one, and he will always die in that seat because he is that talented where you don't, you know, see him on the cover of every friggin' magazine. Nobody likes to, like, talk about these guys. Like, some people are so obsessed with, like, oh, this dude got the fastest hands, or he got the fastest feet, and he plays paradiddles at 300 beats a minute. I could care less. I want to hear a good groove. I want to hear why he does that for the song. And Larry Mullen Jr. is a very underrated player in a great iconic rock band, but there's a lot of people probably be like, I don't even know who that is. They know Bono and the Edge. Can they even name the rhythm section? You know? But that guy is on top of his game all the time.
All right. So we got Larry Mullen Jr. on the list. Lily, did you put together some stuff?
I do have a list.
Lily has a list as well. So what we're going to do is we're going to let these two kind of go back and forth a little bit. What do you got, Lil?
I just want to elaborate a little bit on what Keith was saying. I feel like a lot of the drummers on my list that I've chosen are overshadowed by other members of the band. So that's sort of a thing.
Sure.
But I'm going to go with Glenn Sobel. He's officially in Alice Cooper's band since 2011. But he's played with so many people. Motley Crue, Hollywood Vampires, Richie Sambora. He's been basically a house band member forever, and he's played with like so many people, and I think he's so super talented, but because he started as like a house band person, like nobody really knows who he is unless you say, oh, it's the drummer for Alice Cooper's band. Like, he's even played with Aerosmith and Kesha. I mean, he could do so many different things, so that's why I chose him as one of my people on my list.
All right. Who's next on your list, Keith?
That's actually, if I can iterate on that one, that's a great pick because I was going to put him down because I watched that documentary on Netflix, that Hired Gun, and he's on there being interviewed about all that. He's has played with a lot of different kind of artists, and he was playing like some solo, and he could be flashy, and he could be solid. He can do a lot of different things. He's definitely a really good player, so that's a guy that I think kind of sneaks under the radar there. Another guy for me that I'm totally off the I'm definitely going to the hard rock vein here, but this is another guy that I think doesn't get enough credit for his drumming. Like I said, I like me a nice filthy groove when it comes down to, and this band's all about that. This guy, and I might be hacking up this last name, John Paul Glaser from Clutch, is an amazing and just a really groove drummer. Guy is creative. He just solid. His drums always sound great. He has just cool technique, never really overplays. Kind of almost takes like a swinging, almost John Bonham, and swings it a little bit. It's almost like John Bonham, born in New Orleans kind of thing. He has like a very cool swing to his playing. And he's probably in jazz influence, but he definitely has, and play. He definitely has good hand technique, and his groove is really solid. But that's a guy that I think – shit, I can't even name all the guys in Clutch, but that's another guy that's been in that band for tons of years. That band's been around a lot longer than people think. That band's been around. And they just have that kind of more cult following kind of thing going on. But that's a guy that if you don't know who that is as a drummer, you should check out.
Great band, too.
Yeah, they're cool.
Yeah, a really cool vibe. Lil.
Okay.
Lily. Oh, Lily.
So on my list, I'm actually going with Roger Taylor from Queen. I know people know who he is. He did have a unique drumming style, and he did write some of the hits, like Under Pressure and Radio Gaga. But I feel like this is an example of people did not go to the show to see Roger Taylor. They went to the show to see Freddie Mercury. So I kind of feel like he got pushed into the background, even though they know who he is, but do they really pay attention?
They really understand his real talent.
Thank you.
How great he is.
Okay. Yes.
Keith, you want to comment on Roger Taylor at all, or do you want to jump in something else?
Taylor would make my list also. And totally agree with that. And Freddie was the kind of center of attention in the band. But if you look at it, you know, as great as Freddie Mercury is, as great as he was of a vocalist, Roger Taylor's not too bad of a singer, man. He's doing all that high shit on Bohemian Rhapsody. That's Roger Taylor.
Well, that's the thing about that band people don't realize is all four of them, those guys,
sang.
You really freaking sang.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, and he wrote I'm in Love with My Car, so that's always
I like that.
What do you got? What do you got, Hawk?
All right, this one is another one that's like a little bit more of a modern guy, we'll call it. This kid, I think this is fairly young, and in this band, you have to be on your game because there's only two guys. So I'm going to go with next one is Ben Thatcher from Royal Blood. This guy just lays down a nice solid pocket and plays simple but effective drum parts that are always perfect for the song. Another guy that just captures the song. And being in the band where he only plays drums, he doesn't really sing, not that I ever seen, and there's only one guy playing bass and singing, and if one of those guys falls off the other, it's going to be a freaking train wreck real quick. So those two, to like keep that shit together like that. So Ben Thatcher should get more credit, and maybe people don't know Ben Thatcher is another one. Royal Blood's a cool two-piece band. Go check out Ben Thatcher, and they just rock, man.
Great, great band. I love Royal Blood. Freaking kick ass. Before we go to Lily's next pick, could you take a quick look at Facebook and see who might be partying with us?
We have Snowdy Heemskirk, Diana Swens, Chris Thunderwolf, of course, Douglas Lynn Phillips, Charlie Doyle, and that's it.
Okay.
Nobody really made a comment on the actual subject yet.
Okay. All right. Shout out to all y'all out there. We're going to tag a few people. I think they might be not knowing where we are tonight. We'll do that during the next song. But go ahead, Lil. Why don't you do one more pick, and okay. We'll go maybe just a couple more. Go ahead.
I'm going to go with Joey Kramer from Aerosmith. Again, another one who's overshadowed by Joe and Steven. They're a very media-heavy band. So obviously all the media is going to the two front guys of the band. I think they're extremely rhythmically charged. He brings quite a variety to all the songs, though, because they do seem to switch it up with music. So he can do the heavy metal thunder, he could do punk, he can do jazz, and then he also was a part of when Let's Go From like rock to rap. So I think he's extremely talented. Nobody ever talks about Joey Kramer, though, in any sort of a list of drummers other than
not true. Let me interject for 1 second. Not true.
Hey, jump in, Keith.
In an interview years ago in Modern Drummer Magazine, I probably have in the closet. If you give me a minute, I'll dig it out. But in Modern Drummer Magazine years ago, they were talking about some of the most underrated players, and they were talking to Dennis Chambers, who's one of the greatest drummers of all time. He mentioned Joey Kramer by name and was like, Joey Kramer never gets the credit that he deserves. Right. So Dennis Chambers gives a blessing. That's all right with me. Okay. Joey's involved in some of the great grooves. Walk This Way. I mean, that's like just one of the most iconic drum grooves of all time, you know?
I think he's awesome.
Well, I mean, it isn't all. Let's talk about this a little bit, because it isn't necessarily about technique. I mean, we've talked about this with guitars. Same rules kind of apply. You know, a great guitarist isn't necessarily the guy who can play the fastest or do the most crazy tricks. Technical gent thing. You know, I mean, you know, there's guys that are very understated, like Mike Campbell from the Heartbreakers, who play a solo with two freaking notes and send chills up and down your spine. So drummers, it's the same kind of thing. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be about, you know, your solos and stuff like that. I mean, some of these guys are just like that. Boom, tch, boom, boom, tch. That opening drum riff to Walk This Way. Like, I mean, who doesn't like immediately start doing that? Like, as soon as the song comes on, I remember like sitting at the lunch table, or waiting for when our bus is coming in the morning and somebody having that on a boombox and everybody going playing air drums to that. Like, just dumb, stupid kids, like, you don't know their ass from a hole in the ground, were rocking out to that great beat. And so there are things like that that a drummer can brings to the band. Some of the stuff is subliminal, like you mentioned, Keith, about John Paul Glazier from Clutch, the way he kind of like plays it, you know, kind of swings the beat a little bit that gives them that kind of unique feel. So it isn't necessarily about like anything really crazy or being flashy, playing upside down or whatever.
That's cool too, though. I love Chops drummers, and I work on practice pads and speed on a drum kit. I just find myself really gravitating, you know, most of the time towards guys that really capture a nice pocket and a nice groove. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with, like, you know, I heard people on the list mention like Thomas Lang and Terry Bozzio. And I mean, Terry Bozzio is great. Thomas Lang has more chops than a lot of people, but I don't really, and it's impressive, but I mean, how many hit songs has Thomas Lang been on, you know? Where, you know, you take someone like Bill Rudd from AC/DC or Charlie Watts, they played 2/4 the entire time and have made a career out of it.
I was going to ask you about Phil Rudd. Is he on your list?
I think a lot of people know who Phil Rudd is. Okay. He'd be overshadowed by the Young Brothers, too, though, or Brian Johnson or Bon Scott. Even that Bon Scott's just as popular now as he was when he was alive. Shit.
So let's go back. Let's do one more back and forth. You do one more. Lily does one more. We'll play another song. So what do you got, Keith?
All right. For me, I'm going to go with another guy that's probably gets not enough attention here, but this guy is from another modern guy, and I want to, like I said, I'm a little bit all over the board with this, and I have way more than 10, but I'm just trying to narrow it down to guys that I think are some current and some not so current. This guy is another, you know, particularly newer band. This is Dominic Howard from Muse. I think is a really tight player, sounds really good. Again, a band that's, you know, a three-piece band. That you know, with the power trio thing, that, you know, once one little thing falls apart, it could be a long night. So, and he's very, like, interesting with his rhythms, and he's very powerful when he plays. And I think that he maybe doesn't get, you know, definitely doesn't get the credit he deserves. But it's a guy that I've only discovered within the last 3 or 4 years, you know. But it's someone that I would listen to their music, and I would be like, the drum groove is cool. That one part is interesting. He can pick out like very cool textures for songs, and I like that about drum. That's my favorite kind of stuff. My favorite kind of playing, you know.
Lil.
Oh, excuse me, I'm burping into the microphone.
That's fine.
I have on my list, because I have to have a female, Samantha Maloney from Hole. I really like her. She's been drumming since she was 14. I don't necessarily like the band Hole, but I like that she can jump in and fill in on Motley Crue. With that, whenever Randy Castillo was sick at the time, and Tommy obviously wasn't in the band at the time, and she also has other projects as well, like Eagles of Death Metal, Peaches, Chelsea Girls, and she also manages a band called Cherry Bomb.
She's in Eagles of Death Metal,
yeah, or she worked with them.
Okay.
I don't know if she's like officially in it.
I was gonna say, because
I think she might have been a fill-in for that too. But she also wrote music for documentaries and movies, and of course all the percussion parts. So I think she needs to get her. Do as well.
Okay, so far we've been talking, so we're gonna have way more than 10.
Well, yeah.
But that's okay, we had to start somewhere, so I'm gonna run them down real quick before we play the next band. We started with with Keith's first pick, Larry Mullen Jr. of U2. Then Lily chimed in with Glenn Sobel of Alice Cooper Band and a bunch of other things.
Yeah,
bunch of
many
other projects.
Other things.
John Paul Glaser from Clutch, thank you, Keith. Lily's pick was Roger Taylor from Queen. Keith came back with Ben Thatcher from Royal Blood. If you guys haven't heard Royal Blood, I've been listening to Octane all week, and I've not heard Royal Blood one time. I don't know where they're being played. They should be playing, being played everywhere. They're freaking amazing. Then we had Joey Kramer from Aerosmith. Thank you, Lily. Dominic Howard, Keith, thank you, with Muse. And then we just talked about Samantha Maloney?
Maloney.
From Hole. I said Hole.
You said Hole.
This is a band called Bad Marriage. It's not just like a relationship problem. It's actually a band now. Go figure. Check them out, guys. We'll be right back. Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus. Diablo by Bad Marriage, guys. And let me go ahead and give you the way you can find Bad Marriage. No matter what I say, it sounds like a double entendre. BadMarriageMusing.com. This is a great name. We were talking about doing a show on band names.
Yeah.
And there's some that are absolutely terrible. There's a lot of bands that have terrible names that became really famous.
Yeah.
You know, but there's a lot of bands with like really cool names too. But like one of the bands that has a terrible name, I think, is the Eagles. I think that's just like one of the worst names ever for a band. But in any case, that's a cool name. Bad Marriage. You go to badmarriagemusic.com. What'd you say, Keith?
What about Ween?
Yeah, that's a great name.
You like it?
It's like it's quirky.
Yeah,
and it fits their music. You know,
it does. they were named like some real serious, I'd be like, this is some bullshit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. You're right, right, right. So it's perfect. So let's get back. So we're talking about drummers, guys. We are kind of trying to get the guys that like don't get their due. And we're trying to talk about those guys and, you know, give them some props tonight. We have our expert drummer in the house. We've got Keith the Hawk Hawkins, who is drummer, extraordinary, all around great musician. I've worked with on a few different projects. As well as our resident rock historian, Lily V6. So these two have been kind of like, I've been just kind of relaxing and, you know, letting these guys kind of do their thing. So, Keith, who else you got on your list?
I'm not switching up. I'm sticking to the list, but I'm going to go with three guys that are way heard of, but I'm not going to do all three at once. But the next three picks I have are guys that I think are heard of, definitely in the drum community, probably outside for their namesake or who are they related to or who they play with. So the three might be able to figure it out. The three I'm going to go with, starting with the first one, I'm going to go with Zach Starkey. If you do not know who Zach Starkey is,
Zach Starkey is.
He's a drummer for The Who, but he is also Ringo Starr's son. He replaced, he was after Kenny Jones and Welsh, but you always live in the Keith Moon shadow. But if, you know, and I know people love Keith Moon. I like Keith Moon myself. Zach takes that inner Keith Moon, like that spirit of his, that busy, a lot of fills, but I think he just kind of restrains it to the point where it's a lot more solid. If you ever hear some like live videos or have seen The Who with Zach Starkey, he definitely brings the Moon energy with a little bit more restrain and a better sense of timing. And I think that he captures what The Who, how tight The Who can be without, you know, now, like I said, we all love Keith Moon. He's the loon, but rest his soul. But, and he's, you know, done shit that, you know, only made him more of a legend. But at the same time,
first guy to drive a car into a swimming pool.
Exactly. Zach Starkey's a hell of a drummer, but being Ringo's son and then having to replace, you know, a legend. And then we'll, you know, get into some other ones that no matter what he does, but he's a really good player. Maybe just gets overshadowed by the fact that he, unfortunately, is, you know, for him, not as well,
He's trying to fill really big shoes, and he's probably doing an awesome job, but because he's filling big shoes, people don't really put it together how awesome he really is.
I've never really heard him play outside The Who, so I'm going to only judge it for that, but he sounds freaking great playing
There's a track that I, maybe you're familiar with, I don't know, Roger Daltrey did a solo album in the, like, early to mid 80s, and I believe that the album is called Under a Raging Moon, and the title track has a drum duet at the end of it with Zach Starkey and Jason Bonham. Are you familiar with the song?
I haven't heard it.
So they were really young. So this was even before Jason had really kind of even come into his own. He's a guy who I think everybody can agree really got better over time. You know, this, you know, after the Live Aid thing, he took some shit for that, but kind of got a lot better. But that's very cool. If you haven't heard the track, you should check it out. But the two of them are kind of trading off at the end of this, during the fade out, and it's a song that Pete Townsend wrote as a dedication to Keith Moon and for Roger's solo album. And it's kind of the coolest, one of the coolest things that like The Who did. That's not The Who. So if you never heard it, you should just check it out. You might, I think, just for like interest's sake. I don't know how. I just think it's kind of a cool thing. I'm not talking that the drumming is so amazing. You might listen to it and think it sucks.
No, I'm sure it's great. I mean, they're both really, really good players. And basically, what do you remember? Like, what the name of the track is?
It's called "Under a Raging Moon."
Is that the actual track?
That's the name of the song. Yeah. So when you get a chance, check it out. So what do you got, Lil?
So I'm going to go with, on my list here, Mitch Mitchell of the Jimi Hendrix Experience. he does like sort of a, which I didn't know who he was until I read about him, but I wanted to do the drummer. He does like a jazz fusion meets psychedelic rock. I think of the era, he was probably one of the more prominent drummers. Like the song Manic Depression. I love that song, and it sounds awesome on there. Never really got off the ground, though, because Jimi Hendrix passed away, and the band kind of went away.
What did Mitch Mitchell do after the Jimi Hendrix Experience?
As far as I know, he had had no momentum, but I don't know if he was in anything else. But it said, like, when I was reading about it, he had, like, no really much drive to do anything else after that band.
Session work.
Did he do some session work?
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, he probably had projects. I mean, he might have had like a solo project or something. I mean, definitely did some session work. I don't unfortunately think he's underrated. I think people know who he is, but I mean, that's if you really didn't know who he is, then that's a horror of a thing.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't know who the drummer was for Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah. Panic Depression is one of his, you know, finer works that he's, you know, definitely it's kind of lifted from an Art Blakey song, but I mean, it's great. It's a great drum part. He's definitely got that jazz influence, like a lot of his guys. But, yeah, he's a great player. He's one of my favorite. He's probably one of my favorite drummers from that era. If, you know, with him and Bonham and the Paces of the world, and those are guys that I think I grew up listening to and still idolize.
Absolutely. So, what you got next, Hawkster?
I was going to say Jason Bonham, just because the fact where he is the son of the greatest rock drummer of all time. You can quote me on that. It's kind of as good as Jason is, and he sounds great. I've seen him play with. You know, he did the Foreigner thing for a long time. He had his own band, Bonham. I actually seen that video of him playing with a drum, like a drum pad, like an octopad, with Sammy Hagar on the Howard Stern Show. If you ever never seen that, it's pretty cool, actually. Where he plays like this drum, like sample
is
pad.
Is he in the circle? Is he the drummer? Or is that Chad? That's Chad.
I don't know who it is.
Who's the? You know, that's Sammy's latest band.
Yeah, that's who I want to go see, like Superman.
Is Jason in
that? Victor Johnson?
Who'd you say?
Is it Victor Johnson?
I don't know who the... I was asking because I know that they had worked... No, it is Jason Bonham because he was on a Howard Stern show and he told this crazy story about... Check this out, Keith. He told Howard Stern that when he was like just like a teenager, that Jimmy Page gave him like a pound of cocaine for his birthday.
Oh.
And then like the next day, there was all this stuff like going out in the media, like him like trying to like backpedal and retract what he said and everything like that. But you know, it's fucking true. You know, in the '70s, man, everybody, you know, that was a whole thing, you know.
Jimmy, we love you. You're a you're a fucking god. You're an icon of guitar,
you
but
can
at
do
the
what
same time, don't try to be a role model.
Yeah, you're not a fucking role model. But so you got Jason Bonham on there. Also worked with Black Country Communion, and he's played with a lot of people. He's great.
They do a lot of stuff, and he sounds great. I just think, like I said, I'm not, and this is something I think that the fact where his last name is Bonham gives him that sort of popularity that he received, but at the same time, he's always going to be under that shadow, man.
Yeah, it's tough.
Starkey.
Yep. Starkey, same way. Yep. At least Zach knows not to call himself Zach Starr.
That'd be funny.
But all right, so what do you got, Lil?
I'm gonna go ahead and throw my other female out there, and it's gonna be Meg White, and I don't really care what anybody says. I think she's awesome. I know she's simplistic. I know it's just like it's not like crazy or anything, but
like, you know,
I didn't hear what you said.
Charlie Watts is simplistic.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I like the girls. So she tried drums once of her husband's and just decided to form a band because she actually had a little bit of skill there. Obviously she's both praised and criticized. She's on a lot of the worst lists. I don't really care. I think playing to crowds of thousands with her popularity was like awesome. So I kind of feel like maybe she's not the worst.
Anybody can fuck up. Mm-hmm. And there is a great video I don't know if they're playing Icky Thump or Seven Nation Army or something. And and Jack White is not even in the same. It's like he's playing the wrong song. It's come so off. It's just you guys can find it on YouTube. It's absolutely fucking hilarious. She's just back there doing the thing, and he's like, you know, and the crowd is like,
what's going on?
You can tell people are looking at each other like, what? I mean, they're all shit-faced out of their mind, but they're all, that's how fucked up it is. Like, even stoned people are like, what? I don't know. Something wrong here. So, anyway, so Lily with Meg, you want to say anything back? Because I know you're not a big Meg White fan.
Well, I'm not going to. I don't insult drummers, man. That's just not my thing. I don't want someone, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of holes in my playing. And my point was, Charlie Watts is simplistic, and he made a freaking career out of it. You know what I mean? Phil Rudd, there's guys that have been very simplistic. I mean, a lot of studio guys have to, like, not saying dumb they're playing down. Mick Fleetwood has made, you know, a great, pretty, you know, a good career for himself by playing pretty just solid pocket music. But there's a lot of studio guys that, you know, that have made millions of dollars by playing simple backbeat music. I mean, the simplicity, I've never really been a fan. And the band was cool. I like all his other work way better. He's actually a decent drummer if you ever watch him with the Bad Weather. But he's actually, he can play a little bit. He's very talented. I mean, but the White Stripes are probably my least favorite of all his work. And I kind of gets lost in the shuffle. Where if I can't listen to the music, I can really.
I got you.
I'll lose interest.
Who else? We're going to kind of try to wrap this up with just a few more. So who else you got on your list, Keith?
I think, you know, another one that is going to live in a shadow. This guy is probably popular in drum circles, and he's probably, if you were a diehard fan of the band, you would know who he is. But like I said, again, this is just on my opinion of it. I think that Taylor Hawkins don't get enough credit for being such a great player. I think when you're in a band with Dave Grohl, a lot of people think that he's probably not even the best drummer in the Foo Fighters. but at the same time, I mean, because Grohl's, you know, so high on people's list of, like, rock drummer, and Grohl is awesome. But Taylor Hawkins is a really good drummer. I think sometimes, like, that's why I put those three up there, Jason Bonham, Zach Starkey, and Taylor Hawkins, all three great players in their own right. All three are living under shadows of different elements, of whether it or I'm related to a guy that was, or my dad's the guy that was in the most popular band of all time. My dad was
the Or there's greatest. Another drummer in the band. The other drummer in the band happens to be, like, one of the most iconic drummers on the planet.
They're all for different reasons, but they're all, like, just... They all have that, like, kind of, where the hell's my credit kind of thing. And Taylor is a great player. I mean, there's times where I heard him, he sounds really slick, and he sounds great, man, with stuff. And I'm not saying he's any better or worse than Grohl. I would like to get into that little discussion one day. But at the same time, I think
Okay, go ahead. Talk about it. We're here.
That's just one of the things where a lot of people think that Dave, you know, and I'm not going to say nothing about Dave Grohl. I think Dave Grohl is like a modern-day John Bonham. Dave Grohl brings it, man. Like, when he plays, he's fucking playing. Like, Dave Grohl don't have, like, one speed when he's playing drums. He's throwing it down the entire time he's playing. He's not joking around. He's dynamic. He hits the drums like, you know, and it feels like you're going to get, you know, like, you can feel it when he's playing. Like, he's just going to punch you in the face pretty soon because he's just coming with everything he has. And he's a great front man in his own right. I mean, I love the Foo Fighters. I think they're a great band. I just think that Taylor doesn't get his credit because he's in a band with Dave Grohl. And I would probably feel the same way. Like, what do I got to do to get my credit? And I think a lot of drummers give him credit. But I don't think that the average person or someone that just, oh, I like Nirvana and I think he's a great drummer. It's like Dave Grohl's worse works than fucking Nirvana. He's done way better shit than that since then. You know, I'm not saying his playing was bad in Nirvana, but it's just way more simple than the shit he was doing with Queens of the Stone Age or Probot. You know, any of that stuff he does, the side project stuff he's doing. So,
well, also, and we should mention too, Taylor has a great voice. He's a songwriter.
He's very Roger. He's very Roger Taylor, like a modern day Roger Taylor in that aspect, where he can sing his ass off. Has his own side project where he sings. And he's a really good drummer that I think deserves more credit than what he gets, you know?
Yeah, I like it. I like the band, that his project, the Coattail Riders.
Yeah, that's cool, man. That's a cool, like, project. So and he can sing his ass off, and he's a great player. I mean, and he was in Alanis Morissette's band, so it wasn't like he was, like, starving on the streets when he joined the Foo Fighters, you know? He was playing with Alanis Morissette, so he wasn't, like, you know, he was straggling anywhere, just, you know, busking on the street, down on Bourbon or something.
We're gonna just do a couple more. Lily, what do you got?
Tommy Ramone, I think, is a underrated drummer. I mean, he was the drummer for the first 4 years of the Ramones, but he was basically thrown into it because nobody else really wanted to do it. And again, another simplistic, no nonsense kind of drumming style. And I just don't think he gets the credit he deserves for being in one of the most influential punk bands out there. So
yeah, I mean, they're one of the grandfathers of punk, you know, held up to a big stand.
And he produced the band after that. Oh, so, did he? That was kind of cool. Yeah.
I did not know that. He was also a producer.
Yeah.
Do you know about Tommy Ramone? Do you have any other, you want to fill in any gaps on that or You don't know?
Nah.
Okay. Right. Oh, he wrote most of Blitzkrieg Bop. I forgot about that. Most, not all. Most.
Blitzkrieg Bop. Which is he wrote the Blitzkrieg.
He wrote the bot part, maybe.
Oh, he wrote the
since
bot.
He's the.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, what do you got? What do you got, Hawk?
Not a guy that I think doesn't get enough credit, and he does a ton of studio work. Some of it, from what I've read, he doesn't even know what the hell he's on until it's released. But and he played in a band, we'll call it one of Maynard Keenan's other bands. He plays drums in a Perfect Circle, or did. I don't know if he's still currently in there. It might be Josh Freese, if you have never heard of this guy. Dude got super skills, man, and has played with a punk band, the Vandals, like a ball, you know, like a kind of an alternative punk band. He was playing on, did some session work for, if you remember, Avril Lavigne's first record. He said he didn't even know what the hell he was on, and he was just recording drum tracks. Next thing you know, he's cruising down the street, and there's his drum tracks on one of her, like, little pop songs she had. So he's done a lot of studio work. Josh Freese, and he sounds great in a Perfect Circle. But another guy that might, you know, Maynard's in a band with Danny Carey, who's a fucking heavyweight, you know, in the metal community.
Yeah,
so
yeah, Danny Carey's like,
so he's definitely on the metal icon. Yeah, and
I
one
mean,
of
if he's playing
best
with Maynard, then, you know, he's
yeah,
got some shit.
Can't be fucking with that. But Josh Freese is a great player in his own right, and I think that he's, you know, another guy that might fall under the radar there that just can really play the.
We're gonna do one more each.
I actually don't have any more.
You don't have any more, Keith. You want to? What do you want to close out with? You want
to? This is actually my number one, and if I had a list and I put them in an order, which I didn't at this point, I have one that I think who I would definitely put on every list for any underrated drummer. This guy is the king of underrated drummers that don't get shit for credit as much as he should. It's Matt effing Cameron from Soundgarden and Pearl Jam. Mm.
Good call.
The great. I mean, the guy could just groove his ass off. He could eat Odd Time Signatures for breakfast and spit them back out. He don't care. He made Pearl Jam instantly. Who Pearl Jam's had 300 drummers, I think, but he made Pearl Jam instantly sound better. There's some. I've heard some live shit with Pearl Jam with certain drummers, and it's like kind of loose, man. It's not real. You know, it's good, but it's not. He put that shit in and reined that in to where they're playing off of him, and he's driving that bus on that one.
Well, you know, and we've talked about this before over drinks, that a band with a bad drummer is a bad band.
It's this is that, true.
They're a it's backbone.
That's that simple. You know, you're just, it's just, you can't have that. It just,
that's
the most. It's the key member. I always feel like if you've got like a really great front man and a kick-ass drummer, you got something you can work with. You can build on that. But you got to have those two. You know that's what rock and roll is.
The people that get overshadowed by like dynamic frontmen. That's why I've been on the left. I've seen a couple people on the list say, and I agree wholeheartedly with the Alex Van Halens of the world, or you know, guys that were. Share the same last name as an iconic guitar player in the band, or you know, Dave Lee Roth. Then he's replaced by Sammy freaking Hagar. So it's like maybe Alex doesn't get the credit he deserves. So Alex Van Halen should be on the list too.
I would. He would be on my list as well. That's somebody I was thinking of was Alex Van Halen, just for that exact reason. Like, you know, it's like when we talked about guitar players, we talked about Alex Lifeson. You know, Alex Lifeson's in the band with like Neil Peart and Geddy Lee, and so yeah, people don't realize that Alex is a badass guitar player, and it's the same way with Alex Van Halen. You know, he's in this band with, you know, these iconic frontmen, and of course Eddie Van Halen, who's arguably the most influential guitar player of all time, next to Jimi Hendrix. And you know, but Alex is good. I think he's great. What do you think, Keith? I think he's badass.
I love Alex Van Halen, man. It's one of my first when I, you know, was playing as a kid, I would pick up like, you know, a Van Halen night, like 1984 or something, you know, like Diver Down or something, and just try to like play along to the shit. I don't know if I was playing it right, but I would try to play along to the tracks. It had a lot more good. I mean, I wasn't like, as a kid, I wasn't nailing Hot for Teacher my first take, you know, but it's
really
one of, nah, I probably still, that's an illusion, that song.
Who's your biggest influence, Keith, as a drummer?
For rock drumming, I think John Bonham, and I think that I respect a lot of drummers. John Bonham probably made me start playing drums, but so did jazz drummers like Buddy Rich.
Okay.
You know,
Well, we are gonna play another track, and I'm gonna come back, and there's a couple things I want to talk about some of these players that are playing on a lot of records that you like, and you don't know. You think the band is playing Kiss, and it's really amazing session music. So we're going to come back and talk about that. We're going to kind of wrap up with that here in a minute. We also want to give a quick shout out to the folks that commented on our post on Facebook, because this was a wildly popular,
it really was,
topic this week on our Facebook. So
talk drums for the next 6 months.
You got it, buddy. All right. So this is a band called American Bombshell, Money on the Liquor. American Bombshell and the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus. American Bombshell. My money is on the liquor. AmericanBombshell.net. We started off the show with Pittsburgh's own Transcendence. Transcendence412.bandcamp.com. Bad Marriage also was in there. We had Bad Marriage at badmarriagemusic.com, and that was American Bombshell. Ludini Rock and Roll Circus is our web.com is our website. We are going to be wrapping up here in a couple of minutes, and then we're going to go partied up real big. And if you'd like to hang out with us, go to lulombardirocks.com. all kind of cool stuff there. Don't have time to get into it, but it's a great community. More people are joining every single day. Very active. People are now like posting their own stuff, and we're having a great time talking about great guitar-driven rock. Very awesome community. People are supporting. Very positive. We're not, there's no flaming or fighting or, you know, you have an opinion. Sure, man, that's cool, but I like this guy instead. Whatever. It's awesome. You can check that out at LouLombardiRocks.com. And also on the post podcast show, that's where you get to hear the real dirty jokes and Lily gets naked and all kind of fun stuff happens. So you can check
out. You know.
So,
never.
You haven't been here.
That's true.
So you get for missing staff meeting. So what you guys do not realize, is there is, and you can't, I tried Googling this, and when I Googled it, all I could get was the band Ghost, but it's called ghosting. And it isn't just session musicians playing with like people like Beyonce or Pink or whatever. We know that those artists are bringing in the top session guys.
Yeah.
A lot of your bands that you love aren't playing on their own records. And they're bringing in guys to ghost. And what that means is they'll bring a guy in like Steve Gadd or Vinnie Caliuta or somebody like that, but he won't get any mention. They will bill it as if whoever, Peter Chris, played the drums on the record. And they do this with guitar. They do the whole band. And this is something that Kiss, they hid this for many, many years. It eventually came out, and Gene Simmons admitted it in his book that they brought in session. Of course, he blames it. You know how he is. But it's a very common thing that happens. So a lot of the musicians you think you like aren't really those guys.
It's false.
It's total fake bullshit. And so you got guys like that. So who are some of the like guys, Keith, that are playing drums these days, and maybe even on classic tracks that maybe our listeners don't know them, but they love the songs?
We just lost the king of recording. Hal Blaine just died within the last month or so. Hal Blaine was on everything in the 1960s through the 70s. Any hit song on a radio and a Wrecking Crew was probably on it. You might not know, like, you know, it might be the Mamas and the Papas or the Birds or, you know, all the Beach Boy stuff he was on. I mean, if you go and Google Hal Blaine and his little the discography and all the stuff he was on,
yeah,
you might want to have a couple minutes to, like, look around, because it's going to be a lot of shit. I mean, the dude was on everything, and anything was on the radio. You know, that big intro to Be My Little Baby is always a fascinating one for him. That's one of his signature little drum tracks at the beginning there of in the intro. He does some really cool stuff on the Beach Boys records. But, you know, all the Mamas and the Papas stuff, the Birds, he was all over the radio. Any radio hit was most likely probably Hal Blaine back in the 60s and 70s. It was like most of it was. I'm not saying everything. But a lot of that stuff.
Hal Blaine, Vinnie Caliuta, Steve Gadd. These were guys. I mean,
Vinnie's on a lot of stuff. I mean, Vinnie's been on stuff from, you know, Joni Mitchell to Megadeth. He's been on a Megadeth album, you know, and everything in between. And Vinnie can play anything. It's just where he's at. Steve Gadd's been on a lot of songs. Like I said, we're getting to the point where I'm going to name a couple songs that are definitely not in their rock genre. But, I mean, songs like The Hustle. Remember The Hustle?
Mm-hmm.
Or You Make Me Feel Like Dancing by Leo Sayer. That's Steve Gadd on it.
Well, I will dance to all of that.
What? He's the guy that plays that amazing intro to Everybody Leave Your Lover, right?
Please Leave Your Lover, yeah. Lady on it. All that Paul Simon stuff. But there's a lot of stuff that, you know, you might not notice Steve Gadd's on. I mean, he's played with tons of stuff. Like, he sounds great playing on some of that James Taylor stuff within the last, 10, 15, 20 years he was
and
on.
He worked with Eric Clapton.
Eric Clapton for years. I mean, I don't know what Clapton's up to nowadays, but yeah, Steve Gadd's on a lot of that stuff. I mean, and the studio, you know, the studio stuff, he's done a ton of studio work, you know, more than I can name, trust me.
Let me ask you a question. Okay, I'm going to throw a couple people at you, and you tell me what you think. Okay, because these are some people that came up on our Facebook post, and I want to give all the people, Bill Domiano, Jason Pinkney, Dan Kincaid, Andy Rarick, Matt Muckle, Fletch Drums, Vincent, James Spiller, Barb Hiloszewski, Andy Taravella, David Ray, Sean Lewis, Lisa Catt, Joe Ferrero, Bill Hathaway, Alec Wolf, Luke Rivano. I want to give all you guys a big shout. Luke Zadel, Tommy Yacopin. Tom, are you still playing? I haven't talked to you in a long time. Tommy's a solid drummer himself. Bill Wyand, James Conway, John Stewart. Not that John Stewart, the fan of us. Frankie Denault. Fran Crasher, Tom Johnson, Norm Nardini, Tom Blinsky, Aaron Kroll, Adam Thomas, Crash McCracken, Ray Rocco, Tom Breedling, Keith Hawkins, Lenny Leorio, Billy Altman, John Fox, Strike Dietz. I mean, the people are still commenting. Mark LeCornu. So thank you guys all for... And I don't have time to mention all your picks, but I want to throw a couple at Keith and have him kind of respond as the professional drummer in the house. So, because these are guys that, like, I listen to and I like, but maybe they suck. Okay? Bill Ward.
That's good, man. Yeah, that was that. You know, maybe the guy that was labeled the first heavy metal drummer could be, you know, him or... Unfortunately, maybe Carmine Appice might get that, you know, with Vanilla Fudge. That was kind of heavy shit. I mean, that Bill has a nice, like, you can tell he was definitely influenced by jazz because he has, like, a nice swing to his playing. I'm still a big fan of drum parts from, like, War Pigs and Fairies Wear Boots and just things like that. And he can be straightforward, and he can play, you know, I guess we'd call it, like, a tune like Children of the Grave or anything like that where it's, like, you know, a little bit more busy and straight, you know, than the actual straightforward playing of Paranoid, things like, you know, songs like that are really, really straightforward. I was always a big fan of, like, War Pigs and everything, you know, those are cool drum parts to me.
Bunny Carlos.
Cheap Trick, yeah, definitely a solid player, you know. I think he has probably the world's biggest collection of vintage drums, about one of them.
But he's not active, like, they still kind of tour and stuff, but he's not playing with them, right?
Rick Nielsen's son or somebody's son plays with them now. Bunny, when he was, yeah, some of the great, like, even when they chilled out a little bit, when we're doing songs like The Flame and things, the way the drums sound on those recordings, he always got the, you know, him and whoever produced the shit was really in tune with that nice, big, fat sound he got on some of those tracks, on some of the studio tracks. And I would assume that's him playing on that stuff.
Was Ringo Starr a good drummer?
Yeah, he's a great fucking drummer.
Okay.
Bernard Hardy thinks he played on a lot of it, but I mean, I'm great. Bernard's great in his own right, but there's a lot of
there's some shenanigans here because Paul McCartney did play on some stuff
back in the USSR,
but there's a lot of stuff that Paul McCartney's accredited to that actually is, because George Martin has talked about this, actually was Ringo actually playing. You and I have talked about this privately, but talk about Levon Helm.
Levon Helm, I probably should have put him on my list too. The guy that's known, that not only a great drummer, got that slinky kind of like loose feel, great shuffles, really cool voice though too. You know, maybe known more for the singing. A lot of people kind of just, oh, I like the voice, and that's like worked on Henley Fitzen and Phil Collins. Those guys are great players, but they get overshined by their actual singing, but, you know, Levon's definitely not only my favorite singing drummer of all time, but, like, just a good, solid groove player. If you put anybody else in that drum chair in that band, it's not going to sound the same. He has a very authentic kind of sound.
I totally got you. Well, I just want to say, I want to mention a glaring omission. Nobody mentioned this guy, okay? And I'm not saying he's a good drummer. I'm just saying that's very telling, because you and I have had conversations about this guy. Not one person mentioned Mike Portnoy. Not one person. There's all these comments, and some people mentioned multiple drummers in their comments. Not one person said said Portnoy.
Mike Portnoy's not underrated, though, either.
But don't you think he's kind of overrated?
You can take that to the bank. I think he's an overrated player. He sounds, when he's trying to play like with Dream Theater, I'm not a fan of that kind of playing. That's not musical to me, man. I'm sorry. And people out there can hang from his fucking doggy bag all they want, because I don't care, man.
Woo!
I've heard Portnoy sound better playing straight ahead cover tune or playing with the Winery Dogs than he does playing prog rock kind of Dream Theater shit.
Saw him live with the Winery Dogs.
Take my drum from down the fucking stairs later, and that's what it sounds like.
I got you. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to go around the room, and we're going to kind of give everybody a chance to kind of give a parting shot about drums. And if you want to talk about comments on Facebook or something, Lily, whatever you want to talk about, everybody can say whatever they want to say. So, Lily, we've been talking to Keith for a long time. What do you got? Anything you want to mention, talk about? You want to talk about anybody's commenting online right now? Are people telling us to go fuck ourselves?
They're not. We actually have a lot of watchers right now. People were asking me about the Sonic Temple Festival, which I did not go to. Sorry.
That was around Columbus?
I think so.
Yeah, that was actually that far away, but I'm sorry.
But
I digress.
I didn't go to that. Phoenix Rising gave us a shout out.
Yay!
And Billy Altman says Keith Hawkins is good.
He's all right.
And we have a couple more watchers, Bob LaRussa, Tim Paul, Billy Altman, Bill Damiano, and that's all I got.
All right, guys.
Never see that shirt that says the world's okayest drummer? I'm going to get that.
Do it.
eBay for like $15. It says the world's okayest drummer.
Okayest.
Yeah, that's the best thing.
So, anything you guys want to add before we rock on? Lily, why don't you have some announcements? Any show coming
up?
You want to talk about your show?
My show's on Thursday as usual. Hot Licks with Lily, 6 p.m. Eastern on Rock Rage Radio. App is free, or just go to the website, rockrageradio.com. Also, I will be live at Striper at Jurgles tomorrow.
Striper.
I will also be interviewing the opening band, Inside Out. They're local, so that should be fun. So that's all going to be live on Facebook tomorrow.
Awesome. Keith, anything you want to add before we get out of here?
What?
The Sweet Brothers at Striper?
Michael's in it. I don't know about the other ones.
Wow, I didn't even know they were still around, man. That's something.
Yeah. Hey, you going to Rockin' Pod with me?
You're gonna give me the details, man.
It's the 9th and the 10th of August.
I got a gig August 10th. I don't know, man.
Okay, because Sweet he's gonna be there. He's like the headlining guy.
He's
there.
Super cool.
Yeah, he's gonna be there.
Is it really? All right, well, that'd be cool. I mean, yeah, I got to figure out if I can squeeze out of this somehow.
We'll talk about it. But anything you want to add, plug, talk about before we roll out of here, Keith?
We're in the Gulfport, Mississippi area this Friday and Saturday. I'll be doing a doubleheader. Mississippi people out there, you know who you are. I don't know. I don't know any of you, but I'm sure that if you live in Mississippi and are watching, I'll be at the Blowout Saturday and then Darwell's on Friday.
You fathead.
But that's my Mississippi weekend.
All right. Big Mississippi weekend for the Hawk. Guys, Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.com is the website. We're going to jump over and party a little bit here. We have some stuff that you're not going to get, you don't know about. You'll be completely in the dark. You'll be completely fucked.
Unless
you lose out on all
cool
the really
us.
Good shit. Unless you go to LouLombardiRocks.com and click the link and join us live for the post-podcast party that's going to start here in a minute. Guys, thanks so much for hanging out with us tonight. Special shout-out to our two affiliates, Rock Rage Radio. Go to RockRageRadio.com, download the app. And special thanks to our new affiliate, which is Classic92.3.com. You can download their app. You can listen to us. I believe we are on Saturdays on Classic 92 at 4 o'clock, and we are on Rock Rage Radio now at 11.
Mondays at 11
p.m. So You got two chances to catch up on anything you may have missed. So you can check all that stuff out there. Guys, thanks so much for hanging out with us. We're gonna boogie out of here with one last track. Special shout out to the bands. We had American Bombshell. It's at AmericanBombshell.net. We opened the show with Transcendence from Pittsburgh. Transcendence412.bandcamp.com. And we played a little bit of Bad Marriage. BadMarriageMusic.com. Check those guys out. This is my latest track featuring Keith the Hawk Hawkins on it. This is Where Have All the Acid Queens Gone? We'll catch you guys all next week on the Loop.
Let's go.